Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good afternoon and welcome into the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Back on the air this afternoon for the Friday edition. And we are live once again at Thornblade Club in Greenville at the clubhouse on the back balcony overlooking the green at hole number 9. And so far, another good day for golf. Yeah, we have the clouds, and we had a short delay this morning. The cloud cover is continuing, and potential for more rainfall is out there. But they had a good day yesterday getting everything in, and we're hoping for the same today. Looking at the radar, thunderstorms right now mostly north of the Greenville area. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for a good day to get more golf in this afternoon. And we had some special play this morning by Michael Arnaud. This guy shot 27 on the front nine here at Thornblade. 27 on 9 holes. That ties the Webb Tour 9-hole scoring record. Congratulations to him. That is unbelievable. I'm not a math major, but that's 3 shots a hole. And they're not par threes. Not most of them anyway. So congratulations to Michael. And maybe we can get him on if he finishes up before we get off the air today. That's debatable, though, because we only have an hour and a half of show today. As long as Clemson baseball stays on schedule, the Tigers and Pittsburgh will be playing at 3 o'clock in Pittsburgh this afternoon. So airtime for that on the Clemson Network is 2:30 this afternoon. So a shortened show today. But we'll get as much as we can from here, talk to a couple golfers. We're also scheduled to be joined by Jay DeMarcus and Jodon Rooney from Rascal Flats. We've had them on, I think, last couple of years. They like stopping in and saying hello, so hopefully they're finishing up on time to get out here. And it's a possibility we'll be able to talk to Tim Wakefield today, another former major league pitcher playing out here, a long time with the Boston Red Sox, knuckleballer. He'll be finishing up right as we're going off the air if things stay on schedule, so we'll see. It's kind of hit and miss whether we'll get him on today or not, but we'll do our best. As far as the leaderboard here at the BMW Charity Pro-Am, all 3 golf courses, we have a 3-way tie for the lead. Michael Arnaud, we just mentioned, shot 27 on the front nine at Thornblade. That is good enough to be tied for the lead. He's 8 under for the day. He has played 11 holes now, so he's at number 12 here at Thornblade at minus 11. But also at minus 11 are Grant Lever. He's playing at Furman, and Oscar Frostro is here at Thornblade. So those 3 guys are at 11 under par and top the leaderboard at this point on day number 2. After that, we have quite a group at minus 10. Looks like 8 or 9 golfers at minus 10. So pretty clustered at the top, and anybody could win this thing. So it's really wide open now. If you're planning on coming out, we encourage you to do that. Just, you know, be prepared for weather that could be hit or miss for the rest of the way. But right now, play is continuing, and temperatures are nice and mild and in the 70s. Cloud cover's keeping the temperatures down, and it's good golf weather as long as the rain and especially the lightning stays away. Also, a little bit of news today to pass along. We got a couple of kickoff times for Clemson football announced today. The ACC announced kickoff times for several games, and 2 of those are Clemson games. And they are the Furman and Georgia Southern game. September 1st opener against the Furman Paladins will kick off at 12:20 p.m. Not surprising there that would be a noonish kickoff for the Tigers. It will be televised on the ACC network. And then 2 weeks later, on September 15th, the Tigers will host Georgia Southern. That has been set for a 3:30 kickoff. And that one is going to be on national TV, Clemson and Georgia Southern, either on ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, or ESPNU for the 3:30 start September 15th against Georgia Southern. The second game, of course, is at Texas A&M. That's a big early game for both of the schools. Jimbo Fisher's first game, actually his not his first game, he'll play the previous week, but first major national game, I guess, as the coach at Texas A&M. And that's September 8th. And the SEC office will announce a kickoff time later this month for the Texas A&M game on September 8th. So that's where we are with kickoffs announced today. And I don't think there's any surprises there. Day games for Furman and Georgia Southern, not primetime games, does not come as any surprise to those who are used to following such things. Another news here today, Lonzo, wanted to see what you thought about this one. Terrell Owens is talking, and that's always fun, the former wide receiver. And he is talking about Jason Garrett, the Dallas Cowboys head coach, still. Cowboys have reached the playoffs twice since Jason Garrett took over in 2010, about halfway through the season. And Terrell Owens, Hall of Fame receiver, is baffled why he still has that job. He went on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas yesterday, I think, and said, when you look at it, it does not make sense for Jason Garrett to continue to have his job. The Cowboys are not expanding. They're not progressing, even as a team, under his coaching tenure. I mean, he has a point, right? 68-55 record for Jason Garrett. Are you surprised at all that T.O. would be mouthing off about that?
No, he's the one guy who you would think would actually tell the truth. I mean, let's face it, we've had for some reason, we keep getting co-hosts that are Dallas fans. And
yeah, what's up with that?
I think they all agree the same thing, that Garrett is the problem. Anywhere else, he would already have been gone, I guess, just because he's Jerry's boy or something. He's sticking around. I don't get it.
Yeah, this could be a key year for Jason Garrett. I mean, they were 12-4 in 2014. That probably bought him some time. But 2014 was a while back. He got a five-year deal then when they went 12-4 that year. They were eliminated from playoff contention during the season last year. Jerry Jones says he understands the frustration, but he also said, I feel good about our head coach. He has Jerry on his side so far for whatever reason. T.O. says the team's lackluster performances under Garrett are because the players are taking the blame. He says, at the end of the day, how can you keep allowing players to be the scapegoats for what's not happening, especially when you have a head coach that's supposed to be offensive-minded? They're supposed to direct and lead the team where it hasn't gotten in a number of years. They've pretty much been at a standstill under Jason Garrett. T.O. said it all boils down to players being the scapegoat for his inability to lead. For me, he said, it's mind-boggling. I think Jerry, he's the owner at the end of the day. He has to feel good with himself about decisions, but I don't understand why Garrett still has a job. Well, fair enough. Of course, T.O. had some pretty good years with the Cowboys, 2006 to 2008. Garrett was the assistant head coach back then under Bill Parcells. T.O. played 16 NFL seasons and certainly was successful. He is second all-time in receiving yards, just under 16,000 yards. Had 153 touchdowns. He has 1,078 receptions. That's eighth in the NFL history. He's inducted in his third year on the ballot to Hall of Fame. He will be enshrined in August, the ceremony coming up there. You know, it's not going to get better, I don't think. There's no reason to think it's going to get better for Dallas without Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, is it, offensively?
I think there is potential for it to be better than it was last year because Zeke Elliott, if he stays out of trouble, will be there for the entire season. So you have that comfort zone. I mean, that's the comfort zone that Dak Prescott came in with when people were focusing so much on Elliott and what he was able to do in his rookie season. It freed Dak up to do some other things. Now, is the receiving core lesser then? Yes and no. I mean, he didn't exactly click with Dez Bryant anyway. He clicked better with some of the younger guys, so we'll see what happens. But I think a full season with Zeke running the ball will definitely help the Cowboys.
All right. We will wait and see. T.O. not keeping silent, but they're going into another season with Jason Garrett as the head coach of the Cowboys, and the pressure continues to build. The situation with Reuben Foster may be getting a little better. The linebacker for the 49ers. He has this girlfriend who has gotten him into a little bit of trouble, but she is coming clean and saying she's been lying a lot about what he did and didn't do. Her name is Alyssa Ennis, former girlfriend of Reuben Foster. And there was a preliminary hearing yesterday, and she testified there that he never put his hands on her, that she lied a lot to authorities about the domestic violence that allegedly happened between them. She tested her attorney, Stephanie Rickard, didn't want her to testify, but she did anyway. She said she made up the story because she wanted to ruin Foster's career and then sue him after he broke up with her in the morning of February 11th. That set her off, and she made up stories. That's what Alyssa Ennis is saying now. She said that she falsely accused a former boyfriend of domestic violence in 2011. She has a history of doing this. You might want to know that about her if you're going to be her new boyfriend. She says now she feels the need to tell the truth because she had to do the right thing, even if that means admitting to previous lies to police and to stealing money. She said she stole money and two Rolex watches from Reuben Foster in the days after their breakup. She said she was ticked off and she wanted to hurt him and end his career. By the time she was done yesterday, Ennis had been on the stand for about 2 hours. She broke down in tears multiple times, and she said it was basically a money scheme. So I guess, you know, that's bad news in a way, but for Reuben Foster, maybe some good news here, because I think a lot of people have assumed he's never going to get going in the NFL with all the off-field trouble that he's been getting into. But now with at least this testimony, there's a chance that this may go away. We'll see. One day after those initial allegations were made, Ennis returned to her home in Louisiana. She spoke to authorities by telephone. She later told a detective that she had been involved in a fight in San Francisco and that she sustained her injuries there. I don't know, just a convoluted story that this woman is telling. And Reuben Foster's going to, at the very least, be a little more careful in choosing who he hangs out with. Of course, this testimony is not over, and the case is not over. They are moving forward with that a little bit, and we'll see how it ends. But it sure looks like she's coming clean, and that, in some sense, should clear linebacker Reuben Foster and make his life just a little bit easier. We'll see if that happens. 844-477-3776 is our number. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the problem here is perception is reality. Once it's out there that that a player, you know, is abusive, whether it's true or not, then the publicity tends to make teams not want them anymore. And he's been in other trouble too. But this, even her coming out and saying she didn't do it, this is will he play anymore? I don't know.
Well, chances have to go up, at least, if this gets cleared from his record. But you're right, it's not the first time he's had some issues, and that will continue to follow him. Before we go to break, wanted to mention we have another tragic school shooting going on, Lonzo. You may know more about this than me, so chime in if you do. But this was in Santa Fe, Texas today. Active shooter on campus at a high school. It's in southeast Texas as of about 8 o'clock this morning. And reports of 8 dead. Is that the last thing you're seeing?
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah, that's the last thing I saw. The shooter is in custody also.
All right, well, good. We'll hope for the best going forward on that, but already a tragedy there in Santa Fe, Texas. School shootings continue, unfortunately, and we got another bad one today that folks in Texas are dealing with. All right, 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. Let's take our first break. We will come back with more live from the BMW Charity Pro-Am. We're at Thornblade Club in Greenville. Back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Well, it's G-Mac and Lonzo anyway. Richmond still playing golf as an amateur here at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. I guess he's at Cliffs today. Yesterday, Richmond was at Furman. I got a text from him at the end of his round yesterday. It was a long round, only a six-hour round yesterday. And he said his team shot a 61, Lonzo, but he shot 89, which, you know, I'd take personally. That's not bad. But he said he settled down after he topped his very first tee shot. That's the one you're going to top, right? You go out there on the first tee, and you're nervous, and you got a pro with you, a web.com guy who can stripe it, and you get up on the tee and basically top it and send it rolling down the fairway.
Well, you know, if you are going to be the one who does, I hope he was the very first one to take a shot. I mean, you know, that gets it out of the way. But he didn't help his team much, did he? Or do you think he did? I don't know.
It depends on other amateurs, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, they did fine, and the amateurs aren't going to make the difference anyway. And all these guys don't care about team scores. They care about their individual scores, these web.com guys out here. But I'm sure he had fun.
Yeah, I got to tell you that everyone around here was wondering how he did. Mark Childers was like, how did Richmond do? He was like, I don't know. And he was looking for leaderboards. I was like, well, he's not on there.
I don't think
you're
going to see Richmond's name on the leaderboard.
He's not on there. So,
yeah, we'll see how he does today. And if nothing else, I doubt that we'll get him on today because he's at Cliffs and we go off at 2:30, so there's no way he's going to make it back over here. But we'll talk about it next week with him and see what his experience is like and get the whole weekend experience from Richmond playing as an amateur in this tournament this week. I love this tweet. You know who Mike Francesa is, the longtime New York City radio talk show host that I guess he's back now, right, on WFAN? He left, retired, and he's already back?
Yeah, I think
they
made a big deal, and as far as I know, he's back on.
Well, he tweeted just a few minutes ago, and his tweet says this, "For a long time coming, first time tweeting." So he's never tweeted before a few minutes ago. And he said, don't waste my time with dumb stuff. Mike, you're in trouble, buddy. Obviously, you do not know Twitter because dumb stuff is prevalent, and you'll be getting barraged with dumb stuff from here on out. He already has 18,000 followers, and I think he just went on Twitter a few minutes ago.
You know,
that's pretty good.
Don't say I don't want dumb stuff because you're inviting the trolls to come at you, which may be what he wants. You know, he seems like he's slightly confrontational, so he might have some fun with that.
Yeah, a little bit arrogant. And I mean, why do you retire and come back in like 3 months or something? You retire at the end of the year, so it's been 5 months. Is that right? Not very long.
Forced retirement. That's why.
Well, he's back. He's back. Anyway, he's getting all kinds of comments on that with dumb questions. Here's one. Should the Mets sign Barry Bonds? There you go. Speaking of dumb stuff. Oh, man. Good luck, Mike, on Twitter. Hey, here's a bit of college football news about Blake Barnett. Do you remember him? A name from the past in the quarterback area of college football. Blake Barnett started his career at Alabama. Well, he has graduated from Arizona State. And now, Blake Barnett is enrolling at South Florida. As a graduate transfer, he will be eligible to play for the Bulls this upcoming season. That announcement from South Florida today. Wow, he's 22 years old. Blake Barnett will have 2 years of eligibility remaining. There's a couple guys there, Brett Keene and Chris Oladokun, who are competing to be the starting quarterback at South Florida. They're trying to replace a really good one in Quentin Flowers. Remember him. He's been their starter for 38 games. Quentin Flowers is the most decorated player in program history. Barnett, though, was a five-star prospect, signed in 2015 out of Corona, California. He's been all over the place, man. He initially committed to Notre Dame. He wound up signing with Alabama. He redshirted in 2015. He opened up 2016 as the starter against Southern Cal. A lot of people have forgotten about that. But it didn't take long for Jalen Hurts to replace Blake Barnett as the starting quarterback for the Tide in 2016. And that's when Blake Barnett decided to transfer out. He went to Arizona State. He finished the 2016 season at Alabama throwing just 19 passes. Completed 11 for 219 yards and two touchdowns. When he got to Arizona State, he was teamed up with Todd Graham as the head coach and Chip Lindsey as the offensive coordinator. But not for long, because Lindsey left for Auburn as their offensive coordinator, and Todd Graham was fired after the 2017 season. So last year, Blake Barnett played a backup role to Manny Wilkins. And Blake Barnett only tried 5 passes last year. That's where things went for him at Arizona State. So he is going to South Florida, and you know, we'll have a chance for a couple of years maybe to be the starter. Quentin Flowers won't be easy to replace, but somebody's got to do it, and Blake Barnett is going to be one of the three guys at least trying. And then we got this news on Tua from Alabama. Tua Tagovailoa, who, of course, lit it up in the championship game in the second half to lead Bama back to win over Georgia. He's talking now, and he said that he would have transferred from Alabama if he didn't get into that game. How about that? If he does, if Saban doesn't put him in the second half, he said he would have been gone.
Does that surprise you? Does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Because
I mean, he was still young.
Yeah, before this, we I think the majority of people hadn't even heard of the guy before. So the question is he going to be the starter or not? What if he isn't?
He will be. I think there's no question. There's very little question if he stays healthy that he'll start this year. And, you know, the only question is why, you know, Nick was as stubborn as he was to wait as long as he did to put him out there. But coaches do that at times. And not Jalen Hurts is a bad quarterback. He was a winning quarterback. But just watch him throw the ball down the field, and you put Tua in there, and they figured that out for the second half and saved the championship last year. His 41-yard touchdown pass to Devontae Smith, second possession of overtime, gave the Tide, of course, the famous 26-23 win over Georgia for the championship. He was talking in Florida, I'm sorry, in Hawaii, where he's from. He's Hawaiian. And he said throughout his football career, he wasn't the starter. He wanted to leave school. He told himself if he didn't play in the last game at Alabama, which was the national championship game, he would transfer out. He said, if I gave in, I don't think I would have seen the end blessing of where I am now, if he had given up earlier, in other words, before that championship game, which he finally had his moment in the sun. The day after the championship game, Lane Kiffin, who was the Alabama offensive coordinator, he said on Dan Patrick's show that people that really know what's going on would tell you that Tua was leaving if he didn't play and play well in that game. Tua thought that he should be the starting quarterback. He had outperformed Hurts in practice. Coach Saban never gave him a chance, according to Lane Kiffin. Tagovailoa's thoughts led up to the championship game, and those were not new. He told other students that he had considered transferring earlier in the season. He said he called his dad and ask him if his offer from the University of Southern California, Southern Cal, was still available. He said, I wanted to leave, told my dad I wanted to go to the school where I thought it'd be easier for me and wouldn't challenge me so much. Well, I mean, look, he wasn't playing last year at Southern Cal. He had Sam Darnold. So what's the big difference? I guess because he figured Jalen Hurts was going to start until he left school, and he's still young. Tagovailoa told the 7th and 8th graders in Hawaii that his initial inquiry about transferring was not well received by his parents. They told him he needed to stick it out and push through. And, of course, famously he did. I don't know. Do you think he really would have left if he doesn't get into that championship game? It doesn't sound like his parents wanted him to leave.
I think if he's very influenced by his parents, I think from what you were saying, he probably would have stayed. But if he had a chance to go somewhere and be a long-term starter, I mean, sometimes you go against what your parents want.
Yeah. Well, he has that chance now, and it'll be surprising to me if he's not starter game one for Alabama this year and never look back because, you know, I think even stubborn Nick Saban saw what the difference was in quarterbacks in the second half of that Georgia game. And so the question is, what happens to Jalen Hurts? Does he transfer out if Tua is the new starter for this season? We'll see about that. 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. We're live here at BMW Charity Pro-Am, the golf tournament at Thornblade Club in Greenville with you till 2:30. That's Clemson baseball time. Clemson and Pittsburgh coming up. 3 o'clock first pitch from Pittsburgh this afternoon. Back in a moment in the huddle. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back into the huddle. It's Greg McKinney out here at the BMW Charity Pro-Am at Thornblade Club. Lonzo back in the studio. We're seeing reports that now 10 people dead in that Texas school shooting, unfortunately. 9 students and 1 teacher. And also I saw reports, Lonzo, that they found explosives in the school. So that's got to be a scary situation. I'm sure it'll take them a while to figure all that out. But pretty bad stuff in Texas today. Keep an eye out on that. You know, the AT&T Byron Nelson is going on the PGA Tour while we're here at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. It's out in Dallas, Texas at Trinity Forest Golf Club. Yesterday we had a couple of Clemson guys right at the top of the leaderboard, but they have slipped back here in round two today. Mark Leishman is the leader at the Byron Nelson at 15 under. He's 5 under today. He is on hole number 18, so, and he had a 61 yesterday, so he lit it up yesterday, and he's playing well again today. 5 more off of par today for Leishman, tearing it up out there. Second place is Brian Gay at minus 12, and Jimmy Walker has third place all alone at minus 11. Just looking for our local guys. I know that Sam Saunders, Clemson golfer, was 2 over today, so after a good round yesterday, it's been a little more difficult for him today. Jonathan Bird is just not teed off yet. He tees off at 210. So that's another Clemson guy who was good yesterday at minus 6. He just got kind of passed up by the field later in the afternoon, but he's having a good round. Jordan Spieth is at minus 6 as well. Not a ton of the biggest names in golf out there today. Bill Haas is at minus 3. He's plus 1 today through 16, but he had a 67 yesterday, so he's having a pretty good round as well. Here at the BMW Charity Pro-Am in the web.com tour, Michael Arnoux now leads the tournament. He's the young man we mentioned coming on the air at 1 o'clock who had a 27 on the front nine, which ties the web.com record for 9 holes. So far, Arnoux is minus 9 for the tournament, minus 12 today. And now, as I say that, just got an update. He's been passed on the leaderboard by Oscar Frostrow, playing here at Thornblade. He's now 13 under, so he has the lead. Arnoux is 12 under, and we have several guys back at 11 under par. So the scoring is certainly happening. You know, I was talking to one of the golfers here yesterday who said that, you know, sometimes with these pro-am tournaments, they will make the pin placements a little easier. They'll make the rough a little less difficult, and you can do some scoring at a pro-am. And they're certainly doing that. 13 under here on the second day of golf has the lead, and that's a testament to what's happening with the scoring going on. So we'll watch for those scores to continue to come in low as long as the weather holds up. Clemson baseball this afternoon, 2:30 airtime, 3 o'clock first pitch for Clemson and Pitt. Tigers won yesterday 16-6 over Pittsburgh at Charles Cost Field last night. Logan Davidson, listen to this, he became the first Clemson Tiger in history to hit a home run from both sides of the plate in a game. Home run as a lefty, home run as a righty for Logan Davidson last night. Patrick Cromwell had 2 home runs as well, and Clemson cruised 16-6, so they take a 1-0 lead in this final regular season series of 2018. Next week is the ACC tournament, so this is it for regular season baseball. So now the Tigers' record is 41-13. They're 20-8 in the ACC. The Panthers fall to 27-23 overall and 11-17 in the ACC. Pittsburgh actually grabbed the lead in the first inning of that game, but it didn't last for long. And pretty quickly, the Tigers had recovered, and they came back to win it by 10 runs, so no problem there. Not so fortunate for South Carolina, though, yesterday, as they lost the opener to Texas A&M. 6-3, the final there. Freshman Logan Chapman struck out 6 in 5 2/3 innings for the Gamecocks, but Texas A&M scored a run in the bottom of the 6, broke a 3-all tie, and went on to win 6-3 at Bluebell Park. Carolina got on in the 3rd inning. Matt Williams with an infield single, went to second base on a pass ball, scored on Noah Campbell's single to center. Gamecocks tied up the game with a couple of solo home runs. Madison Stokes deep into left field, 9th home run of the season. And Carlos Cortez, 15th home run of the season, to the gap in right field in the 5th inning to tie it up. But A&M came back, took the lead 4-3, and then went on to add a couple of insurance runs. So South Carolina's first game in College Station since May of 2015. The Gamecocks and the Aggies have each won two games in the series in Texas. They will play again tonight. That's 7:30 Eastern time for the Gamecocks and Texas A&M in Game 2. Carlos Cortez, by the way, has now reached base in 16 straight games. He has a four-game hitting streak with his 15th home run of the year. And no errors for the Gamecocks. They're playing good defense this year. 26th time this year that they've had a zero-error game. They have a .982 fielding percentage after 52 games, which is very good. And Hunter Taylor, their catcher, has thrown out 15 base runners trying to steal. Got George Junka to end the fourth inning trying to steal. So he's doing a good job there. But you know, Gamecocks didn't get game one. They need to get at least one of these games out in College Station tonight or tomorrow and not get swept by the Aggies, because that's kind of the last impression before they go to the SEC tournament, where the Gamecocks haven't done all that well historically. Like to finish up with at least one win on the road at Texas A&M, so we'll see if South Carolina gets that tonight. Again, we have Game 2 of the Clemson-Pittsburgh series for you here on ESPN Upstate, 2:30 airtime with Don Munson, live from Pittsburgh, first pitch right after 3 o'clock this afternoon. And reports that we've seen on the weather, hanging in, there's a chance of rain up there, but not bad. And hopefully we'll be able to get that game in, as they did last night up in Pittsburgh, and stay on schedule. 844-477-3776, text line 71307. Got your chance to win $1,000 coming up right before 2 o'clock in the free cash stash. Back in a moment in the huddle, live from Thornblade Club, BMW Charity Pro-Am. This is ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney out here at the BMW Charity Pro-Am. Lonzo back at the studio. We're here till 2:30 when we go to Clemson baseball, Clemson and Pitt, coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. One of our favorite guys sitting down to join us right now. We talked to John. I don't expect you to remember, but we talked to you, I guess, about 2 or 3 years ago when you were here. So you've been here a lot. John O'Hurley, how are you?
Very well, very well. Well, I have to be honest. No, I'm not very well. We the celebrity softball game last night, I tore my hamstring.
Did you really?
So I am in a kind of uncomfortable arena that I've never been in before.
My goodness.
I feel like I'm walking around with dirty diapers all day long.
Have you had it looked at?
I had a doctor come in nice enough at the end of the game last night, looked at it, and you know, gave me at least an assessment on it, and he said it's there's a tear in there, and there's no question about it.
And so you played today anyway?
You know, I had it wrapped up. He showed me how to wrap it up, and I did. And you know, oddly enough, as G.K. Chesterton used to say, that and every inconvenience is simply an adventure misconceived. And today I had a great day. Probably played as well as I've ever played.
Ah, well, you know.
And you know what it does is it makes you swing slower, because the transition has to be smooth or it hurts. Yeah. And so, you know, it helped me quite a bit. And that's one of the big problems I have in my game, is the transition from backswing to follow through. It's always been difficult.
But how did you do that last night? Do you remember?
I was taking a wide turn around third coming into home, and I was sure I was going to make it, and one of the other celebrities decided that he was going to tackle me. Instead of being softball, he thought it might be more fun if it became a game of football.
I guess do remember that then, yeah.
I went down and I heard pop, yeah.
Yikes.
I
know. Never had that happen before? Your first
never, I know. I've had some dicey rotator cuffs on both sides, but this is the first time I've ever had any of the hamstring. I understand why. It just absolutely incapacitates you.
Yeah. John O'Hurley joining us out here on the clubhouse deck at Thornblade. You know him well from Seinfeld, certainly, but he's done tons of other things, including Dancing with the Stars. You didn't get hurt practicing for Dancing with the Stars.
You know, right? I never had any injuries in Dancing with the Stars, and I was certainly by far the oldest competitor that they had. But I never had any injuries. I was very lucky.
Yeah, very good. Good to see you again. You keep coming back to this as much as you can, so obviously this means something to you. Tell us about that.
Well, Greenville means a lot to me. I've watched the history of Greenville emerge out of a city that no one would go to, and to one of the great stories of urban renewal. I think it's it's a credit to not only the Planning Commission, it's a credit to the private money that went in to do this. There was no government money that went in to do this. It was all private, a private vision of reviving the downtown. It continues, and every year I come back and I'm more amazed at what I see. What I think is the icing on the cake is that that retirees are coming back and feel that Greenville is a safe enough, secure enough, and accessible enough town for people to retire into, so that they can walk around and have access to everything. And I can't be happier with what's going on here, and I'm glad to have been a part of it every year since we started. So,
John, I'm getting texts from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They'd like to shoot a commercial with you as soon as we're done here.
Anytime. No, it's a great place. If you haven't seen Greenville, you got to come see it.
Yeah. How's your golf game these days?
Well, all you had to do was, slice my Achilles heel, and I turned into a good golfer. I don't know how that happened. Yes. No, I got to tell you, I hit the ball more solider. Today than I've hit in a long, long time. Yeah. And so, and I think it was just because I had to slow the swing down, or I would have winced in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a forced transition today.
Gotcha. When you're not playing golf these days, what are you up to?
You know, I have so much going on work-wise. I have my one-man show called A Man with Standards. It's kind of a musical reminiscence of growing up in the 50s and the 60s around the songs of the Great American Songbook, Sinatra, Mancini, and I use all that music to underscore the stories of my life, and I have a lot of fun telling them. They're funny. Some of them are poignant, but they're all in good spirit, and it's a great evening. And what I do is I performed the show as a supper club, in the way that Dean Martin and Sinatra would have done. So it's a kind of a pricey little supper club, but it's reminiscent of the days of the shows in Vegas where you'd go have dinner in a show, and it would be. It's a lot of fun, and people really love it because they come, they dress up, and for a moment in time, a few hours, they're in the spotlight of elegance again.
So you take that around to different venues?
I've taken it around to a bunch of different venues, and just finished a week up in Toronto, sold out up there. So it's been a lot of fun. I've been doing it for about 2 years now. Just was nominated for Best Show in New York, and I'll be back there with it. But I enjoy doing it. It's because it's mine. You know,
right.
It's nobody else's show. It's all about the stories of my life and my misspent youth, and certainly the great music of the time that I grew up with. The songs, the melodies, and the lyrics.
When you're doing a one man show, that seems to be a lot of pressure. But you thrive on that, I guess.
It's not pressure as much as it's patience. Because halfway through the show, I say to myself, I'm so sick of talking about me. I could just fall down on the stage into a fetal ball and scream, "Mommy, make it stop right now." it's a long haul. 90 minutes is a long time to sing and to speak and to keep a pace to it. I like the show to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, so that there's a through line to it. So you really feel as though you've been through a story tale, exactly what it is. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. I have that. I've got my Broadway show, Chicago the Musical. I'll be back on Broadway, I anticipate, this summer.
Oh, wow.
Then I leave for Greece. I'll be shooting a new movie in Greece. I shot the last one I had in Greece, so apparently the Greeks can't do a film unless I'm in it. The Irish kid. Let's put the Irish kid in the Greek film. But I've seen some beautiful. If you've never, I'll say next to Greenville,
Greece
is on your.
They sound the same, right?
Yeah, it's on your bucket list as well because it's just. Just gorgeous.
Can you? I got just a minute or so left. Can you tell us anything about the new movie, or is that a top secret? Right.
Well,
now?
This one is called. Well, the old movie is called Swing Away, and it's a golf movie.
Okay.
So it's a wonderful golf movie, and it's you get it on. It's been in the theaters already, but go to iTunes and you can download it. It's called Swing Away. It's a beautiful film and very funny, and I'm the meanest SOB you have ever seen in your life, and I make no apologies for it. And then the next movie's called Red Door and Lemon Tree, and it's about a woman who's going back to rediscover her past in Greece, and all she remembers is a house with a red door and a lemon tree. So it's a wonderful return to the homeland.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.